Well, certainly part of our, thanks, Lisa, part of our modern Christmas tradition is the giving and receiving of gifts. Yep, we're there. And I don't know if you've done your Christmas shopping. Kerry and I, we've had a reasonable degree of success. We're on our way. And Christmas but can be tricky because we don't always get presents we want or actually are happy with. I just walked into the middle of a conversation between Kerry and someone else just this morning, and she identified the two presents she was happy with that I've given her. Christmas is tricky, but it's interesting because when we turn to John's Gospel, and we've been spending some time in John's Gospel lately, when we turn to John's Gospel, and in his introduction, he talks about this idea of gift, of giving and receiving a gift, and the idea of Jesus, God's gift to the world. Let me read for you from John chapter 1, verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Let's notice a couple of things here in this portion of scripture. And the first is this: Jesus, the gift, has been given. The gift has been given. The reality of the Jesus' birth is a fact of history. Jesus has come. And indeed, this is what we talked about last Sunday. The eternal Creator God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit entering into this world in the person of Jesus. He came and dwelt among us. He entered our physical existence of time and space. Notice the repetition in verses 9 and 10 here, that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The world is a big theme in John's Gospel, in his letters as well. But he uses this word in a very technical way. It doesn't simply refer to this physical world, but to the world organized in rebellion against God. That's the idea behind John's usage of this word. World. It is the world, both physical and spiritual, under the influence of the prince of darkness, a world hostile to God, a world that has been broken and is suffering under the weight of that brokenness. And the reality is, when John declares that Jesus has come into the world, the truth of the matter is Jesus entered into enemy territory. And why? John put it this way in his first letter. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. This is not a discussion point. It is a simple statement of fact. Why did Jesus come into the world? Why did Jesus come into enemy territory? To destroy the enemy and his influence in the world. Yes, the coming of Jesus was a rescue mission. And that brings us to the second thing we need to observe here in John chapter 1. Jesus, the gift, needs to be received. Yes, there is a giving component to any gift, but there is also a receiving. A significant person in our life many years ago, he was a bit of a grumpy sort of person, I don't need Christmas presents. I've got this and I've got that. And we gave our Christmas present to this person. And I was kind of fed up with his attitude, quite frankly. And he said, "Oh, I don't need it. I've got one." And I said, "Fine, we'll take it back." We did give it to him eventually, but there's a receiving aspect to any gift that is given. And interestingly, John presents us with a contrast between two groups of people, those who did not receive and those who did. There were those who did not recognize him, who did not see him as Jesus, the Son of God. It's interesting, as you read through the Gospels, you encounter that sort of thing all the time. I mean, in Matthew's Gospel, for example, it's noted, "Hang on, isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter's son? What? You're kidding." They didn't recognize him. They didn't receive him. And then there were those who did receive him, who, John says, believed in his name. The idea behind that expression is that they believed in his person. He is who he claims to be. Yes, these are the ones who accepted Jesus for who he said he was and were willing to follow him in obedience. Believing in Jesus always involves these two facets. I love the way Merrill Tenney puts it. When we accept a gift, whether tangible or intangible, we thereby demonstrate our confidence in its reality and trustworthiness, step one, and we make it part of our own possessions. Let's explore a little further what this receiving looks like. I've been struck as I've been reflecting on the Gospels in preparation for Christmas, and I've been struck by something that I've never thought about before. Who was the first person to receive Jesus? Mary. The first person in the Bible to receive Jesus, to accept Jesus, was Mary. And Mary is an interesting case study in this notion of faith, in this notion of belief. Notice with me Mary's journey of faith. And I use that language very intentionally because, yes, belief is a process. It is a journey. It takes time to be worked out in our lives. Notice with me. In the first instance, for Mary, it was God's word heard. Mary heard the word of God. Luke in his gospel tells us that the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, a young unmarried woman, a virgin, and tells her she's going to have a baby, a son, and she will call him Jesus, and he will be acknowledged, called the Son of the Most High, that he will reign over Jacob's descendants, Israel, in a kingdom that will never end. Now, if someone rocked up to you and told you that message, you would be kind of shocked. And there was an aspect to this message where I would want to suggest to you, Mary wasn't that shocked about it at all. The idea that a king of Israel would reign forever was going to be born wasn't that surprising a message. The coming of the Messiah had been promised for centuries by the prophets. It was the hope of every first century Jew, and the little insight into who Mary is that we get from the Gospels suggests to me that she was a typical first century Jew who was living in the hope of the promises of the prophets being fulfilled, that the Messiah would come. So that aspect of the message wouldn't have been that much of a surprise to her. Can I suggest to you the really, really, really scary part of this message for her was, you will conceive and give birth. See, it's all very good to sit back and for us to read through the Bible since I'm a virgin. There's not doubt here. She's just looking at the sheer cold reality of how the world works. She's not an idiot. She says, well, bit of a problem here. I can't see how this will work. The interesting thing to me is Mary didn't run away screaming. She didn't. She didn't run away screaming. She isn't resisting God's word. She simply doesn't understand how such a thing could possibly happen. And the delightful thing recorded in Luke's gospel is that the angel is happy to help her out. And indeed, that's true for us. God is always happy to help us understand who he is and what he can do. He wants us to know him. He's not sitting here smacking you around the head saying, you don't have enough faith. He's saying, I want you to know me, knowing when we know him, when we understand who he is, we will believe him. He wants us to believe in him. And so the angel explains to Mary, it is God, the Holy Spirit, who will do this, who will make this possible. And not only does he tell her how it's going to happen, but he encourages her faith in God by telling her that her elderly relative Elizabeth, who has not been able to have a baby and is now beyond the years when such a thing is possible, is actually pregnant. He's encouraging her to believe. And the angel concludes with these words in his conversation with Mary. No word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. And this is what God is constantly doing in our lives. He wants us to have faith in him. As we read in Hebrews, without faith it is impossible to please God. He wants us to believe in him. And he is patiently, yes, from the account of Scripture, we can confidently say God is patiently working in our lives, revealing himself to us so that we will know him and trust him. The more you know him, and that's true of any person. There are some people here you trust. Why do you trust them? Because you really know them. There may be some people here you don't trust. Why? Because maybe you know them. The more we know who God is, the more we can trust him and follow him. And there's one final step in Mary's journey of faith that we need to note. It's God's word accepted. Luke 1, 38 tells us her response. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. You see, Mary was confronted with a decision. She had to decide what she was going to do. And indeed, when God breaks in, we have a choice. We are human beings. We are created with the capacity to make choices. And indeed, whenever God breaks in, we have a choice. Embrace or reject. Believe or doubt. Either we abandon ourselves to God's path, or we cling to our own path with its illusion of certainty. In that moment, and indeed it was only a moment that Gabriel gave to Mary to say something, to respond. In that moment, I am sure Mary wasn't fully aware of where this choice would take her. I'm sure she wasn't fully aware of how it would impact her life. I'm sure she had no understanding of the pain that would bring into her life and the struggle. And here is the thing. We don't know the outcome of the choices we make with God. The issue is not, hang on, God, I've got to control the outcome of this. I've got to control the situation. No. That's not the issue. The issue is, can I trust God? With the limited information I've got right now, can I believe in God? Can I believe him? Is he faithful? Sure, Mary didn't know the full outcome of what was going on, but she chose to believe in God. Yes, faith in God, believing in his name, always involves hearing and understanding the word of God and choosing to act on it. But notice also back in John's gospel how when we receive Jesus, the gift which has been given, God changes our lives. Jesus, the gift, changes lives. John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I want you to notice this word, become. The word speaks of change. Yesterday, I was this. But now, I'm something different. I've become this. You cannot become what you already are. You can only become something different. And here God's word says to us, those who receive Jesus, those who believe in his name, become something different, the children of God. Now, let's be clear here. And I think at this point, there's a lot of confusion that floats around Christian circles. Because the truth of the matter is, yes, we become something different. This is a change in position. Once I was part of this world and under the power and influence of the Prince of Darkness, once I lived in hostility and rebellion against God, once I was bound in sin and death, broken and without hope. But now, because of what God has done in Jesus, it is possible to become something different. Now I am in a new relationship with God. I exist differently as a human being. I am a child of God. I'm not what I used to be. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't always mean in an instant I am morally a different person. That needs to be worked out by the Holy Spirit. In me and each one of us, we are being changed from glory to glory. The Holy Spirit is constantly at work in us, changing us, growing us, opening our eyes to what we're really like and who Jesus is and all that he wants to do in our lives. But none of that changes this becoming children of God. That is an unshakable thing God brings us into. Once I belong to that family, now I belong to this family. I've used the illustration many times. I love it. Where I say, I have the power to change people's lives. I have done it countless times. In before me walks this lady dressed in white, and here standing is this person nervously waiting for her arrival. They walk in as independent single people, and we before God perform a wedding ceremony. And they walk out of that building changed. They're different. They have a different relationship. They are now married. They're now married. The same sort of thing happens at citizenship ceremonies. How many of you have become Australian citizens? Several of you. You walked into that ceremony hoping that the country you came from doesn't have dual citizenship because the illustration will fall flat. But let's assume you're from one of those countries that doesn't have dual citizenships. You walked into that building a citizen of wherever, but you walked out of that building a citizen of Australia. You were changed. You became something different. You who have believed in Jesus, who have received him, you are someone totally different. Indeed, no word from God will ever fail. You might see yourself as someone who's believed in Jesus, and right now you're struggling. It doesn't change the fact that you are a child of God. Right now you might see yourself as, man, I'm dealing with sin. That doesn't change the fact that if you've believed in Jesus and received him, you're a child of God. Sure, that stuff needs to be sorted out. But you're a child of God with an eternal destiny, with a hope that cannot be taken away. And for you who are here at this Christmas time and we're celebrating the coming of Jesus into the world, and you've never come to that place where, yes, I accept who Jesus is, but I'm willing to, like Mary, say, well, yep, let it be done. I believe it. Let's go. If it's, and can I say, there are a lot of people in the world who believe in Jesus, who say, yep, I believe that's who Jesus is, the Son of God. But they haven't necessarily come to that place where they've said, Jesus, take my life. I need you in my life. Jesus at a distance sort of stuff. No. Jesus personally. Believe in him personally. Take control of my life, whatever it means, personally. Today is a day where you could believe in Jesus.